My message to you today. My scripture reading is in Hebrews, and it's interesting that our Torah portion was here also, but that's where God led me for today's message. And I enjoyed the Torah portion, and we want to see a different aspect of Hebrews by basically focusing on chapter 1. So the scripture reading is in Hebrews 1, starting with the first verse. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. And He is a radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as He has inherited a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did He say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me." And when He says, when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says, "And let all the angels of God worship Him." And of the angels, He says, "Who makes His angels winds, and His ministers a flame of fire." But of the Son, He says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and of the righteous scepter is the scepter of His kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they all will become old like a garment, and like a mantle you will roll them up. Like a garment they will also be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not come to an end." But to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this book of Hebrews, for our Torah study today, for the relationship, Lord, that we see between obeying your commands, including your weekly Sabbath and the rest we have from it, and that eternal rest that we receive from having faith and a believing heart until the end. And Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for that analogy, and we ask your blessings on what we will speak in the remainder of this service, and let them all be to your praise and glory. And in Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. This book of Hebrews is very interesting, and it's interesting that this letter was written to God's children of Israel, the Hebrews. And I want you to especially focus on this particular chapter in regard to who it is that is speaking and who it is that this one that is speaking, who it is that he is speaking to or speaking of. And I would like to go to my key verse, is that verse number 8. And this makes it very clear who these words are spoken of. But of the Son, he says, and there you have to wonder if you don't already know who it is speaking. Who is the he says? But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God. Does that strike you a little different or a little strange right off? Well, maybe not, but if you know who it is that is speaking these words, then it might. But it is speaking of the Son. And this says, of the Son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. Okay, let's go back to verse 1 and 2, and let's look who it is that is speaking these words of the Son. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Do you see? God the Father, Yahweh, is speaking. And he's speaking of his Son. And this makes it clear, if there was ever any doubt, who actually made the world and how all things come into being, we see that this verse says that he has spoken to us in his Son, and through whom also he made the world. Yahweh made all things that we see through his Son. So that is really interesting to that particular point. God has spoken to us through his Son. And in verse 2, let's look at it again. In these last days has spoken to us in, notice that? Does that not seem a little strange too? That Yahweh the Father in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Let's look at verse 4 again. Well, let's go back to 3. And it gives an analogy of the Son with the Father, Yahweh. And of Yeshua, the Father says, and he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and opposed all things by the word of his power. And when he had made purification of sins, what does that bring to your mind? And when he had made purification of sins, speaking of the Son, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's the Son, Yeshua. And it's very clear that he is now at the right hand of the Father. And when he had made purification of sins, that's speaking of the perfect sacrificial Passover Lamb of God. That's speaking of Yeshua dying on the cross, shedding his blood for you and I, for the world, for all who would accept God and believe and have faith and hold on to the end. He made, and when he had made, purification of sins by dying on the cross. In verse 5, it makes an analogy between Yeshua and the other, specifically the angels that Yahweh had brought into being. For to which of the angels did he say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you, and again I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me"? How is it that the world today seems so reluctant to accept the wording of God in regard to a description of a family that humans can relate to, but yet in a spiritual sense? The Father had a son, and that son is Yeshua. And Yeshua is the only begotten Son of the Father. Let's look back also in regard to this. Go to chapter 4 and go down to the 14th verse. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who had passed through the heavens," and who is that great high priest? Makes it perfectly clear here. Jesus, the Son of God, "let us hold fast our confessions. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us draw near. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence through the throne, to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Who is it from where our help comes? Our help comes from the one who gave his life for us. Our help and our mercy comes from the one who shed his blood for us. And we need to forever keep that in mind. In verse 5, in verse 6, it speaks of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, being a firstborn of the Father into the world. And it draws a comparison with the angels when it says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." And then that key verse again in verse 8, making it clear that Yahweh is saying of his Son, his only begotten Son, but of the Son he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. And look at this verse. This verse should stand out to you. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. Is that not interesting? Therefore, God, your God. And that should bring us also in remembrance to that scripture at another place in the New Testament, where Jesus himself at that point is speaking of one that is greater than he. And he speaks of Yahweh as being my God and your God. And for some people, that's hard to accept. What is the title of my message to you today? My message title is Relationship. And I want you to see, in this particular place in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 1, the entirety is speaking of a relationship. A relationship between God the Father, Yahweh, Yeshua, the only begotten Son of the Father, and even of the angels that God brought into being. But of all of this, the Word says that God made it all through His Son. And to me, that's why I always say that God the Father and Yeshua the Son, Yahweh and Yeshua, was involved in creation together. They both brought all things into being. That is how I look at it. And I realize that others may see it differently. But I hope that you've enjoyed this scripture and you see some of these relationships that I'm speaking of, and particularly when you reread this chapter 1, that you get a different light from focusing on who it is that's speaking and who is being spoken about. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. If you would, stand with me, and let's bow to the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this blessed Sabbath, this time of assembly and worship. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words in Hebrews. Thank you for this relationship that this chapter 1 makes clear to us, and of the truth that we get from knowing these words. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you keep these words in our heart and mind. Let them bless and let them be helped by all who hears this message. And hopefully even further light be obtained from expansion of this. Go with us today. Bless each one that hears with the peace and the rest that only comes from worshiping you and acknowledging your weekly day of assembly. And Heavenly Father, we thank you always for all that you do, your mercy and your compassion. And bless the remainder of this Sabbath for each one. And in Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. Amen. Okay, yep. Let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace.